Outside Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, Dave from Hazel Green, when you texted in a minute ago and said Scott Buttram, was he related to that Pat Buttram who played Mr. Haney on Green Acres? I will tell you that a good friend of mine just texted and reminded that an attorney who's passed away now, but Walt Buttram from Gadsden, was related to Pat Buttram. So I do know that. So you were apparently then, Dave from Hazel Green, you were apparently related to Walt Buttram, the attorney from Gadsden at some point. So just saying. Dustin from Hillsboro, by the way, says bacon is nature's candy. No more heresy. I'm with you, Dustin. I'm with that. And by the way, bacon baked with a little brown sugar on it is like pretty real. Brian from Athens says there was a video with it. Guess it. No, it didn't. Sorry, man. Bruce from Springville says pickled eggs are just like broccoli. They are of the devil. Wow. See, I'm of the mind that asparagus is worse than broccoli. I'll eat broccoli. Asparagus, not so much. Greens, I'm not a collard greens man. I don't care. Y'all can say bless your heart all you want to. I don't care. Pickled eggs and collard greens, them's throwaway food right there. That was not meant to happen. Neither one of them. Collard greens. Nobody eats collard greens. God made that as a throwaway piece. Collard greens. You got to stew them. You got to make them what they're not supposed to be. And they just sit there soaking in that nasty water. And you pull them out dripping and drop them onto your plate.
I know what to get you for your birthday now.
Don't you do it either. Don't you do it. All right. Hey, listen, we're going to switch gears here. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, and coming up top of the hour, we'll bring on my friend Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. She is a policy wonk. But what about policy? Well, policy matters. I've said it on the show before. Policy, if it is guided by principles, policy is what tells people what to expect from you. You have established the policies by which your administration or your business or your family will run. People can look at you and they can tell what policies are in place. And they know when you've got a situation coming up, what the expectation will be of your behavior, of your responses. Or for that matter, your preemption of the issue. You don't let certain things happen because you have a policy. The Kamala Harris campaign, there's a piece here I pulled off a Daily Signal that was written by Victor Davis Hanson. I'm telling you, listen, if you want to just get smarter by reading, just read anything written by Victor Davis Hanson. I feel like every time I read his stuff, I ought to get continuing ed. Just credits. Just put them on my list. But he points out, he says, cynically running out the clock has become the overarching principle of the entire abbreviated 105-day presidential campaign of Vice President Kamala Harris. That's her goal. Her goal is to run out the clock without stating her policies. She is literally doing all she can to push forward without you knowing what she stands for. I just this morning, I retweeted out or responded to a tweet actually by Charlie Kirk. There's a video of Kamala Harris that surfaced from 2018 where she's dancing with a crowd and she's chanting down, down with deportation, up, up with agitation, down, down with deportation, up, up with agitation. And she's having the best time doing it. You know why? Because she could care less about your safe streets. She could care less. But she'll tell you during the debate, I'm the only one on this stage who has prosecuted, you know, transnational criminals. Oh, crap. You've done nothing for border security. You're the border czar. You've done nothing. You know why? Because you have no policy. You know why there's a video of her doing this, smiling and laughing with the crowd? Because she's a chameleon and she'll be whatever she needs to be with whomever she's with at the time. Because she has no principles, no grounding force that guides her life and sets her policies. The only one you can count on right now is she's for abortion. Everything else is, I'll say it today, but I'll do something different tomorrow. So Victor Davis Hanson goes on to point out that in her only 11-minute post-debate Philadelphia interview, it was a shipwreck, that even socialist Bernie Sanders points out that for Harris to get elected, she must temporarily disown her lifelong leftist credentials. In other words, I'll be whatever I need to be. Don't you? Policy, what's that? I don't want to. She didn't put even anything on her website about policy until the day before the debate. How lame is that? And even then, she pretty much cut and pasted things that had been on Joe Biden's website, which tells you that she didn't have an original thought. She was just holding out because she didn't want to be pinned down by something. Because you see, when you establish policies, people can actually begin to hold you accountable. They can actually say, but I thought your guiding policy was this. Economic policy. I thought you said you wouldn't raise taxes. I thought you said that you were for safe borders. I thought you said that you were not for intervention in foreign wars. I thought that you were for Israel, not against Israel. Policies. So the Harris campaign is literally doing all she can to obfuscate for the next, 56 days, I think it is? And left unstated is whether she wins the presidency or loses it without having to openly state who she is, says Victor Davis Hanson. Great point. Says, when asked to provide details of her past responsibilities for the open border, the inflationary economy, the spiraling crime, the attacks on fossil fuels, collapsing of foreign policy, Harris just smiles, makes hand gestures, and dodges. She changes the subject to her empathetic personality, her joy campaign, her iconic profile as a supposedly dynamic black woman, the glass ceiling breaker, because those are eye candy. Those mean nothing. Says in the 2020 Biden campaign, Harris has like the Biden campaign of 2020, Harris has nationalized a new kind of cynical campaign in which leftist candidates can seek for just a few months to deceive the public into thinking that they're one thing when they're really another. Avoiding all cross-examining, outsourcing the campaign to the media is now the new norm for them. When you don't have policies, you don't have to have truth. When you don't have policies, you don't have principles. It means you can get by with just saying one thing and doing another. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, we'll dissect that a bit further with my friend Stephanie Smith. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number 3 here on a Meatloaf Monday. We don't have a sound effect for that. We just like to talk about it. Meatloaf Monday. But I spent the last little bit opening up the second dipper for the day. I call this one Policy Matters because we're talking about matters of policy, but I think it also should be said that policy matters. And policy, if you can't espouse your policies accurately, then you have to question whether you even have any principles. And anyway, that being said, you guys hear me talk all the time, but there's other people out there that are a lot smarter than me on this stuff. And one of those is Stephanie Smith, who is the president of the Alabama Policy Institute. Stephanie Smith has a long record of working in administrations in both Montgomery and in doing things in and around the federal side and working on matters of policy with API. And she's on the phone right now. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, but now I'm completely distracted trying to figure out what kind of sound Meatloaf would make.
Exactly. We've been doing the same thing. We're pretty sure
it's
there's
like that old, what does the fox say? You have to just make up it now.
We've had multiple people like text to say you ought to use a song by the guy Meatloaf who sang in the 80s or 70s.
Okay, you could go with that. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, but then somebody else pointed out there was a great quote from Leave It to Beaver about Meatloaf, and I may have to find that one.
I'll have to figure that one out. My sons like to watch Leave It to Beaver. So
all I know is I bet Kamala Harris doesn't even like Meatloaf. I bet. I don't think so. She's just like that.
She doesn't strike me as much of a Midwesterner. When I think about Meatloaf, I think about the Midwest and the, you know, what the elites call the flyover state. But I mean, that's a perfect segue into what you're talking about, which is, what do people really believe, and how does that push the buttons on what they think is good public policy? I actually got into a Twitter X, whatever we call it now, discussion, healthy discussion, as my parents used to call their fights, a healthy discussion with an individual that, of course, was anonymous on Twitter that literally asked me a very pertinent question, although he didn't understand it was so pertinent, and that's exactly what you're talking about, which is, we're hosting this worldview event with the Family Policy Council in October, and it's basically training on, if you see the world with a Christian worldview, what should you be saying, thinking, doing about some of these you know, issues that we're dealing with on a daily basis. And I posted the information about the event, and he said, "What does faith have to do with public policy?"
Oh, really?
And of course, my response was everything.
Everything.
Because everything. I mean, if your faith, and then we went back and forth, but if your faith is not informing your opinion about what's happening in our society, and if your faith is not forming your opinion on your vote or on what you think is right or wrong politically, then it is a false faith.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times, like for instance, on a pro-life bill, I'd have somebody mm-hmm. attack me on social media and say, don't be down there mixing your faith with my politics. And I'm like, look, I right. got elected to be who I am. I didn't get elected mm-hmm. just to go out there and blow with the winds. You elected me, and I carried my faith and my principles with me, and I vote accordingly.
That's right. And it's interesting, on the abortion issue, you know, Kamala Harris has you know, she has her little shtick down, and she's just repeating these talking points ad nauseum. And one of them that she's repeating is, you don't have to abandon your faith to be pro-abortion. And yeah. that's one of those things that's one of those things you kind of, you know, hear, and then you kind of hold your head sideways, like, hold on a second. I'm not exactly sure that came out quite like she meant it. But how I take it is that, you know, basically people of faith can be for, you know, the execution of children. And I find that really hard to find in my Bible.
I did a monologue on that very thing the other day. I used that issue that she had tweeted out, and how what we didn't hear was the church calling her out. All we did hear some great people like Tony Dungy and John Rich and some uh-huh. others called her out
yep.
hard.
Yep.
But we didn't hear church leadership call her out for saying such things. And I just, you know, and my point was, we need the church to speak up. But in this particular case, I mean, you've been a part of, like, you worked for the Riley administration, I believe.
Right.
And my recollection of Governor Riley, and granted, there were times when people didn't like Governor Riley, but what I always liked about him was you knew where he stood. And that mm-hmm. was because he had policies, and he had principles. He had lines he didn't cross, and he had some that he was going to cross no matter what.
That's right. Well, and he had a plan. I mean, that's what I really appreciated about him, which was, he had a plan, and his plan was based on something, and the something was what his belief system was.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're talking about, which is, you know, the understanding that everybody brings their experiences to their decision making, and everybody brings their faith, whether or not it's faith in secularism, whether or not it's faith in relativism, whether or not it's faith in humanism, or whether or not it's Christian or Judeo-Christian type faith. Everybody brings their experience to the table when they're making decisions. And so that's why it's such a pleasure to work for API, because it is a group of people who use the same lens that I use, which is a Christian worldview lens about what is right and what is wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that we, you know, we want only Christian people to have any say-so. That's not what it means. But what it does mean is that we think that our ideas are the best ideas for the most people, and we're going to promote those ideas
yeah.
and use the Christian worldview lens to see the world, because we believe that that's the truth.
But that also does is it creates stability. People don't realize that when you establish a policy, when you bring a matter of faith or principle into the dynamic of what you're doing and setting your policies, that it creates security, because people know where you stand. They know what the expectations are. They also know what they can and cannot get away with, so to speak. And they also know if something bad happens tomorrow, what the expected result's going to be when your administration takes over and deals with it. And what we're looking at right now, I think it was, what's her name that just did the piece? Is it Stossel? No, it wasn't Stossel. It was, anyway, just did a piece in the Wall Street Journal. They called Kamala Harris the artless dodger, and because she will not tell you what she believes, or she will dodge right. what your questions are.
Or she'll inherit your own talking points. I mean, there were several times during the debate where I was like, well, that sounds familiar. You know, kind of the joke that Trump had about, well, I should get you a hat. Is one of those things, you know, you kind of are like, wait, that's our talking point, and exactly the opposite of what you've been espousing for your entire career. And that's when you know that you're being talked to by somebody who's being led by polling data and not by principle.
Yeah.
And the things that she is espousing that are kind of, you know, the conservative side on immigration or on fracking or on, you know, different economic policies, those are things that are polling well. And that's why she's saying that. It's not that she's had, you know, she's had turned the page or turned her cheek or changed her philosophy. It's that's what's polling well, and she's trying to win, which is, it's frustrating, because that's exactly why people don't trust politicians, because they're one person when they're running and they're another person when they're governing. That's why you have to pay attention to people's character, and you have to make sure that you have common principles and common belief system with the person that you vote for, so that, you know, that foundation is similar and that foundation is there, because the people that we're voting for are supposed to be representing us.
Well, and I watch some of the people that are, you know, allegedly Republicans who just are going to vote for Kamala, but, and they've lost sight of policy altogether. They're voting on personality at that point.
Right. And 100%.
And voting on personality is never going to wind up being the best solution.
No, I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Movie stars make a living on personality. Politicians should make it on policy.
I totally agree. And that's why the platform matters. That's why the policy matters. That's why the framework matters, even more so than whoever is at the lead of the party or at the lead of the organization that, you know, that you're voting for. It's what's written down. It's what the mission is. It's what the goal is. It's what the history is, and the value system that the organization and the person brings to the table with them, in addition to their personality. The personality is just the least important of all of those.
Well, speaking of personalities, but also policies and platforms and character and all of it, you guys have a pretty neat event coming up this coming Thursday with somebody who I'm a fan of. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, we're really excited to bring Ben Carson back to the state of Alabama. Dr. Ben Carson and his wife, Candy, will be in town on Thursday for our annual meeting, which is actually our 35th anniversary as well as an organization. And I will tell you, in the 6 months that I've been talking about this event since we decided to ask Ben Carson to come and speak and talk about his new book about families being the cornerstone of society, I have yet to hear one negative comment about Ben Carson. He is just very well respected by everyone in the state of Alabama, and really a lot of people on both sides of the aisle. He's truly lived the American dream. And we're looking forward to hearing from him. So we're glad you're going to be there with us, Phil and Charlene, and so many of our friends and supporters there to celebrate our 35th anniversary on Thursday night.
Well, I think you're knocking it out of the park, not just with API, but by also having him there that night. So good on you, and we look forward to seeing you.
All right.
My friend, Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute. Folks want to find out more about you and where you are, tell them how to find you.
You can find us on all the social media outlets and then also on alabamapolicy.org.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. I'll see you Thursday.
Okay. Thanks, Phil.
All right. See you. Bye-bye. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break right now, but that's so good, man. You got to know. Policy. Tell your friends, well, I just don't know if I can vote for Trump. Tell them it's about policy. It's not about personality. Policy is what tells you their character. Policy is what tells you what the expectations are. Policy is what gets the jobs done. Personality, that's for movie stars. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades. By the way, I have an announcement to make. This is important. So the question was raised earlier by Dave from Hazel Green. Where'd that text go? Let me find it. Dave from Hazel Green asked the question. Says, hey, Phil, can you ask Scott Buttram if he is related to the actor Pat Buttram who played Mr. Haney on Green Acres? And then, if so, he and I are related. Well, I just got word back from Scott Buttram. He says, yes, Pat Buttram was my third cousin. There it is. Thank you. Thank you very much. We had greatness in the studio today and did not even realize the connection. But that means, Dave from Hazel Green, you are then related to Walt Buttram, the attorney from Gadsden, who was, I know, related to Pat Buttram, Mr. Haney from Green Acres, and, oh, by the way, Scott Buttram, publisher of Trustful Tribune and friend of Right Side Radio. That's just cool.
That is cool. Reuniting families.
Just everybody needs to recognize that sometimes you're in the presence of greatness and had no idea. Let me get a few text messages here. Let's see what we got. Oh, yeah. Taylor from Vinson, Alabama says, Meatloaf Monday, sound effect. Jed Clampett saying, wee doggy, a sound he made when Granny cooked. I remember that. Wee doggy. We're having some black eyed peas and some cream corn and some hog jowls. And then Grandpa on Hee Haw clip being asked, what's for supper? I love that. Okay, I think we got a thing brewing here. Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper? Well, we got beans and greens and lima beans and things that'll make you see and sheens and then and on and on and on. I like to, most of y'all have no idea what's happening right now, do you? Big Rig, have you ever watched Hee Haw in your whole life?
Never heard of it.
Stop it. Listen, you're a guitar aficionado, right?
Yeah.
You're like a total guitar guy.
Yeah.
You need to, all right, I'm gonna require you now. You have to go and check, like get a YouTube video of Picking and Grinning with Roy Clark and who else? Anyway, but Roy Clark. You ever seen Roy Clark?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Roy Clark had fingers the size of sausages, and he could play guitar like nobody's business. Like, I've never seen anything like it. But Hee Haw was just, why are we doing this? We're on the air. Hey everybody, we're talking about Hee Haw right now. Big Rig, I got to get Big Rig up to speed on Hee Haw. Anyway, Hee Haw.
Okay. Just type in Hee Haw by...
Type in Hee Haw, Roy Clark, guitar.
Okay.
You'll find it. All right. David from Huntsville says, wait, if somebody is voting for Kamala, then they are not voting on personality. Oh, I see what you're doing. Nice. Buck Owens, JT, Lacey Springs, Square Mouet, and so did Joe from Elkmont. It was Roy Clark and Buck Owens. Yes. But Roy Clark was like that guy. That, listen, he was unbelievable. Dustin from Hillsboro says, where'd it go? Dustin from Hillsboro says, look up Meatloaf Masquerade by Julia Child. There are too many Meatloaf tie-ins out there. I didn't know these things. Rhett from Danville says, there's a line from Lunch Lady by Adam Sandler, which I think he's talking about, once again, Meatloaf. James from St. Clair says, use a sizzle and a ding sound effect for Meatloaf Monday. I'm telling you, man, we got people out there that just know stuff. Steve from Huntsville says, Colonel, I'm worried about Harris will get us into a big war that the world doesn't need. As you know, I'm prior military. Part of my job was battlefield bad things. Okay. Says, I fear that there is no maturity in the current administration. They will blink in the wrong time, make a mistake that will cause a real retaliation from someone that can hurt us. And then he adds, and add, bacon is the best part of the animal kingdom. I like how we switch gears there. Everything was doom and gloom until he mentioned bacon. Brian from Huntsville says, the only way we survive a Kamala Harris, Merrick Garland regime, he said, yes, I said Garland, is to take both the House and the Senate. By the way, I like spiced pickled quail eggs. Well, you can buy those at Bucky's, believe it or not. By the way, John from Huntsville says, Big Rig, you just lost massive points for not knowing who Roy Clark is. We're going to play it during the break, dude. We're going to get to play it during the break. Just nice. So, yeah, you throw out a sound effect trying to recoup points. Joe from Elkmont says, YouTube Roy Clark on the Odd Couple episode. Yes, yes, that's true. And then Herb from Gurley says, look up Roy Clark playing... Malaguena, which I can't pronounce it, but I remember watching it, and it's unbelievable. All right, listen, we got plenty more where that came from. We're going to come back after this, and I got to decide, am I going to break off of this policy matters and jump on the crumbling blue wall? I think I am. I think I am. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to tie this up in a nice little bow, and I'm going to talk to you about what happens when Democrats begin to realize that policy actually matters. Some of them switch. Republicans, when they switch, it's because of personality. I can't go. Donald Trump's not the person that I need him to be. So they're voting for policy or for personality. Democrats right now are saying, I'm out of here. I can't support the party that stands for this and the party that stands for that. Because what they're saying then is that policy suddenly ramped up in their mind to the point they could no longer support the party they had been a part of. Listen. It matters. We'll talk about it next, the crumbling blue wall. In the meantime, we're going to listen to Roy Clark. We'll be right back.